Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hard Hits. I'm your host, Derek Felix. Over the next half an hour, we're going to be doing a little bit of a weekend blitz. So welcome to the weekend blitz here on Hard Hits Network. Without further ado, I'm going to give out the number. The number is 310-807-5157. Certainly got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. We are a week away from the Super Bowl. And, of course, we have to start with a little bit of the Flakegate. Yes, we're still discussing this silly crap and this nonsense. Even a game where the Patriots just totally dominated the Colts. A game that the Colts had no chance in. A game where the Colts couldn't tackle. A game where the Colts couldn't run. And a game where Andrew Luck was pretty bad. Okay, so a game where they couldn't tackle a third-string running back, and couldn't really do much of anything. A game they lost by, I think it was 38 points, and the topic's still about the deflated footballs, 11 out of 12 footballs that the Patriots used that weighed, I believe it was 11.5 pounds, or was it 12.5 pounds? Whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. I mean, let's be honest. This is going to be the topic when Media Day arrives this weekend. Actually, after the weekend, this Wednesday, I think that's when Media Day is. And it's going to continue to be a topic because the NFL continues to put it off. And really, I mean, they put it off. So because they put it off and because they're not going to make any announcements until after Super Bowl, which is their marquee event, you're not going to really get much of anything. So I don't really care either way. I mean, what do people expect? Do you really expect them to suspend Brady for the game or suspend Belichick for the Super Bowl, a marquee event? That's not going to happen. And, of course, you know, in typical Patriot fashion, as they usually do, deny, they did nothing wrong. Although it sounds like they did a lot of wrong when it comes to the football, and when it comes to letting air out of it. Now, who's in on it? Well, I'm sure that the quarterback probably knows something. I mean, the quarterback's the one that handles the football. And as much as I don't like to get on Brady, because I think I like Brady, and I think Brady has a chance to really cement his legacy in the Super Bowl. He could get a fourth Super Bowl. That'd be 4-6. He could put his name up there with some of the greats, including Joe Montana and some others. But when it comes to the Patriots, they're just a mystery. They're an unsolved mystery. It's like a puzzle. I mean, maybe you need like a CSI team, a CSI New York team, or I don't know. Maybe you need like a Law and Order team to decipher what happened. And the truth is, we don't really know. You know, it's really speculative. What we do know is that the Colts had an interception, one of their lone highlights in last week's game, AFC title game, game that they got whipped in. They handed the ball to one of their ball boys, and they noticed it right away. They noticed that there was a difference in the football. Now, I really don't know what happened. And at this point, it's really not going to make a difference when the Patriots and Seahawks go at it next Sunday, because they're going to be playing on a level playing field. Every football, of course, is going to be double and triple checked. They're going to make sure that everything is standard. And then you're going to see two teams play in a game that where it's usually supposed to be about the game, not about the commercials, even though everybody likes to watch the commercials, even though they're not as good as they used to be. And it's not as good as it used to be because there's no Bud Bowl. I mean, I used to love the Bud Bowl. Who was going to win, Budweiser or Bud Light? That was fun. All right, that was fun. And I remember back in the 90s, we have a little pool. Who's going to win? What's the score going to be of the Bud Bowl? we would absolutely do a little bit of a pool. And, you know, you win maybe like a pennant or something from the Super Bowl or a shirt. Yeah, I mean, it used to be a lot of fun. I used to like that. Now, you know, it's about the halftime show. Katy Perry is going to be performing. I don't mind looking at Katy Perry. I think she looks pretty nice. So I don't mind that at all, even though the halftime show isn't what it used to be either. You know, but it really should be about the game. It should be about the quarterbacks. Tom Brady against Russell Wilson. It should be about the Seahawks and the Patriots. The Seahawks going for a repeat. They're trying to repeat as champs. Something that's very tough to do. So, and you have to, you really have to love that storyline right there. I mean, that's a storyline right there. I mean, you know, there aren't a lot of teams that have repeated as Super Bowl champions. I think you have to go back to the Broncos. The Broncos did it. With Elway and Terrell Davis. And, you know, if you like the Super Bowl trivia, you know, there's a contest that takes place in New York City every year. Mike Francesa, the self-proclaimed know-it-all for WFAN, hosts this contest. And he does the Super Bowl contest where, you know, he asks Super Bowl trivia. And then, you know, these people call in and they have to get all four of them right, which is not an easy thing to do. So, definitely not an easy thing to do. Actually, the Patriots were the last team. I should have known that, actually. Yeah, they beat the Panthers, and then they beat the Eagles. Of course, when it comes to the Patriots, everybody likes to talk about how they cheated, about Spygate. Now you have Deflategate. So, it's very deflating. Very deflating to hear. But this is what you get with the Patriots. This is what you get with Belichick or Belichick or whatever you want to call him. And then Prince and the Patriots pretend that it's a big announcement. There's going to be a big announcement yesterday. They're going to have this huge announcement. And what was the announcement? Oh, it's just Belichick or Belichick just saying, yeah, I challenge you. I challenge you to prove me wrong because I had nothing to do with it. And he didn't. Or maybe he did. I don't know. But it's just typical of the arrogance that is Belichick or Belichick, whatever you want to call him. It's typical of the Patriots. Now, I've heard a lot of Patriot fans, call in about this story, and you know, they of course think it's overblown, because that's their team, and what if they win the game? What if they win the game convincingly? If they win the game convincingly. Is it overblown? Does the NFL want the Patriots to win the game? Do they care? I mean, does Roger Goodell care? Or maybe they just want a better game than what they got last year, where the Broncos got the crap kicked out of them by the Seahawks. Legion of Boom, LLB. You have to think. You do have to think that it's going to be a lot better game. I think that when you look at the matchup, I think you got two evenly matched teams. I think the Pats offense a little bit better. They can run the football. They could also throw it, of course, with Brady. Brady, of course, you know, has a couple of excellent targets. Gronkowski, one of the great tight ends. He will be on the Hall of Fame, barring anything unforeseen. And Wes Walker Light, Julian Edelman, that's what I call him, Wes Walker Light. So, they will be interesting to see what their strategy is. The Packers against the Seahawks, they tried to run the ball. They established Eddie Lacy, in the first half, and they kind of went away from that in the second half. And they didn't score any touchdowns in the second half of the last game or in overtime, and they got beat in one of the all-time choke jobs that we'll ever see. It's almost up there with what happened with the Houston Oilers and the Bills in 1983. That's how bad it was. It's one of the all-time great comebacks, though. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson with the four INTs. the four INTs, and he somehow, Marshawn Lutz rolled them to victory on that one drive, and then they get the onside kick, and the whole thing was just chaotic. Just the way the Packers mismanaged the football. The Rodgers got them down the field really quickly, and they didn't even they let all this time run off the clock when they had three timeouts, playing for the field goal instead of trying to maybe go for the win, go for the jugular. You'll have to ask Mike McCarthy about that one. Rodgers, of course, after the game, and you know he was banged up with the bad calf, said that didn't feel they were aggressive enough, and he was right. And it's a game they're going to have to live with, and they're going to be thinking about for a long time. But instead, it's the Seahawks. It's Russell Wilson in overtime. They got the football first, and they won. They got the football, and they scored. So Matt Hasselbeck, the former Seahawks, said that he, you know, we're going to get the football. We're going to win that time about a decade ago. Well, this time the Seahawks got the football first. They scored. Russell Wilson finally found his target purse. Who targeted during the game and kept getting picked off, and Kurse made the catch, and the Seahawks won in dramatic fashion. The Patriots, they destroyed the Colts. They were overmatched. The Plategate, whatever, how much the way football weighed, who cares? These are the two teams that are playing for it. You got Patriots going for a legacy. They're going for their fourth Super Bowl. This is actually their seventh appearance. Now, a lot of people forget that the Patriots actually were in the Super Bowl back in 1986 when they got destroyed by the Bears. The Bears were one of the all-time great defenses, a 46 defense with Buddy Ryan, and I think the score was 46-10. That's one of the, I think that might have been the first Super Bowl, first or second Super Bowl that I watched. I think the first one that I saw, that was the Raiders. That was the Raiders over the Redskins. And most people thought the Redskins were to win, and the Raiders whooped them. I think the score was maybe 37-9 or 38-9, something like that. Yeah, so I actually do have all the Super Bowl winners here. I've got a list of some repeat champs. That was the L.A. Raiders in 84, yeah, 38-9. That was the score. And it was the 49ers over the Dolphins, 38-16. The Bears, 46-10. I got that one right also. So not bad. Now, in terms of teams repeating, in sports now it's not all that common. So, you know, the Patriots did it a decade ago, and there has not been a repeat winner since. And now it's the Seahawks. Seahawks, after a memorable performance last year, a dominant performance against Peyton Manning, where they just dominated on both sides of the football. Now they're going to go for it. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's an interesting game. We've talked a little bit about it. This is the Blitz. It's Derek Felix. We got a guest. I'm just going to bring him right in because we don't have a lot of time to waste. This is a short show. We got Rob Craze Davis, our football expert, who decided to join us. Hey, Rob. How are you?
Hey. How's it going?
Not bad, man. Right now, what I'm doing is I'm going to run these half-an-hour shows for now on my Hardheads Network, until I finally feel like I have the funds to finally go back into premium. And when we go back into premium, we'll be able to do longer shows. So that's what we're doing. So we'll join it. This is the Blitz. Of course, the topic is the Super Bowl. And it's Bill Belichick or Bill Belichick, your favorite coach, and my favorite coach. And it's Tom Brady. And it's the mystery, the unsolved mystery that is the Patriots.
Yeah. The Seattle Seahawks against the New England Deflatriots.
Come on. Did it take you all day to come up with that one?
For the way to use it.
Yeah, I don't have any music. I don't have any sound waves right now.
You know, it's old school, no sound bites, AM type radio, you know?
Yeah. When I first started the show, this is the way the show used to sound. I would just come right in with no music. Yep, that's right. No music, just straight in with a little overtone.
Just straight moxie and grit and effort and, you know.
A lot of moxie. Speaking of moxie, Rob, we do have one other person who decided to call in, and it's now a number that I recognize. So last night was a little out of sorts. I do apologize for that. And I'll put some gut into him. But he is back for round two. Mr. The agent of secret agent of Jay Cutler has decided to call us.
Oh,
hello,
God.
Secret agent.
Wait, I'm the one that can't stop talking about Jay Cutler? Are you sure about that?
Well, I think you should be the agent, but, you know.
I should be the agent? I mean, how big is your crush? You're posting things on Saturday night about a guy who hasn't played football in, what, 3 weeks?
I didn't post that. That wasn't me that posted that. But it's a good job, though, are you? I wasn't expecting less.
Jeez.
This is the Blitz. This is the Blitz. The Blitz is basically a 30-minute show with overtime until we get Hard Hits Network up and running and we get audio again and we go to premium. So, how about it, guys? Let's talk about the latest non-story with the Patriots and Belichick pulling a press conference about nothing.
I mean, it's typical. I mean, he messed up his first press conference, didn't know how to answer, and then he came up with some pseudoscience, I'm sure, after they all sat around and, you know, in Foxborough thinking about what to say and came up with some bullshit. I mean, if any of that, like, physics science shit was true, then explain how none of the Colts balls were deflated, which none of these talking heads want to actually bring up, but, you know.
Wow. I mean, I'm a little tired of it myself.
It is stupid. I mean, it's so talked about. I mean, at the end of the day, it's footballs. Like, I mean, on the surface, it is stupid. But and the fact that, like, actual news stations are talking about it is retarded. Like, straight up retarded. But,
like, that's how the media is, though, guys. I mean, they're gonna keep going for this because Super Bowl, they want to make this a story, and that's what it's going to be. Well, it's going to be.
You know what I want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about? Depression, Barry? Nick?
No, I want to talk about. I want to talk about Dion Waiters.
He's in a little bit of a slump, isn't he? I noticed.
He was holding back the Cavs.
He's hot. you know what? There's no.
As soon as he left, they took off.
That
has more to do with LeBron James and Timothy Mozgov than it has to do with Dion Waiters or anybody else that they had it. That's a theory of mine. And it definitely doesn't have anything to do with Kevin Love.
You know, I mean, I think we just have to admit that the Cavs are better without Waiters.
I just want to thank JPG for...
They got rid of a team cancer, and they've gotten better because of it.
I want to thank JPG for his 30 seconds of contributions, and then he decided to disconnect himself. Very good job out of JPG. JPG, you have 11 minutes and 14 seconds to call back in, or to call my phone number personally, so I could log it into an overtime. Of health. I have gone on record as saying I think the Patriots will win this game. I think the final score will be 24-21. I just think that they're a little better. And I think it will be a good game. And I think the Patriots are just a little bit better.
I think they're going to win 38-17. It's not because I think they're better. I just think they're going to win.
Okay. I went to the sports card store today,
mm-hmm.
and the sports card guy who runs the place said he thinks the Patriots are going to win 52-7.
52-7, huh? I can see that,
prediction.
Too. I can see that.
Yes, that was his prediction.
But I think regardless of whether the Patriots win or lose, I think their legacy is pretty much tarnished.
So even if they win this fourth Super Bowl, they're not going to be looked at the same way.
No, I think one, and I think that happened once, you know, Spygate became official. I mean, I don't know if you saw what the Jets special teams coach Westhoff, their former special teams coach, said.
Well, about them. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What he said is that there's been a lot more instances that haven't been brought up publicly, but that other teams have accused them of other issues as circumventing the rules. So this isn't new in New England. It's just these other things haven't become public issue yet.
Ah, God, it's the Patriots. I mean, it is what it is. They like to cheat. They like to bend the rules a little bit. So I'm not going to, there's really nothing else I could say. This is not going to have an impact on the game one way or another.
No.
There's going to be football players. There are going to be coaches that are going to coach. And it's going to come down to execution. The excellence of execution, breath to head and heart.
Drew Bledsoe sticking up for Tom Brady today too.
Is he really? Really?
Yeah, because he's friends with Brady or something. But he was very upset about what Mark Brunell and Troy Aikman said, and he wants people to give Brady the benefit of the doubt. But a lot of people, I guess, aren't giving him the benefit of the doubt in this situation. So.
Well, you know what I have to say about that? I think I have to say that Troy Aikman, you know, is what he is. He's just a jealous guy. In a book.
I don't think Troy Aikman won 3 Super Bowls. I doubt he's jealous.
He's jealous. He's not as good as Tom Brady.
I don't think that has anything to do with Troy Aikman, a Hall of Fame player.
Oh, no, I mean, he was good, but I mean, come on.
I think when it comes down to it, I think Troy Aikman's 100% right, though. You know, I think what he said is pretty much spot on. Brady knows about what happened. He's just not going to admit to it and should be punished for it.
Well, if it is, well, if that's true, then I guess that's just something that Mr. Brady will have to live with after he wins his 4th Super Bowl. And Ty still Montana.
It's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots respond to all this, because, I mean, you know, you say at the end of the day they're just going to be football players, but you're talking about the biggest media spectacle in sports, Super Bowl week anyway, especially with 2 weeks to harp on it before the Super Bowl. The fact that it's going to be all over the place, you're going to repeatedly hear about it. Every question you get asked is going to be about this issue. Can they put that to the side and concentrate on just playing football, or will it become such an issue that it takes away from their preparation?
That's something I was going to bring up, actually. It's funny you mentioned that, and we're going to have all week to discuss this. You know, will it be a distraction? Now, you know it's going to be a circus on Wednesday. Will it be a distraction? Mm-hmm. That's a big question. You know, will that affect their preparation? Will it actually have an effect on the team? I don't know. That's like the million-dollar question right now.
Nope.
I mean, it's kind of like the steroids guys, the steroids baseball players, where it's like they have to decide, right? You have all these like nerdy baseball writers, and they have to decide. I'm not, or like the nerds, like the Bill Baddis, I'm not going to vote for this guy because, well, he cheated. But do you have proof that he cheated? Oh, well, because your team investigated doesn't mean you have proof that he cheated. It's all just circumstantial, you know? So, while they probably did cheat, and, you know, like a Roger Clemens or a Barry Bonds or, you know, what have you, it's really circumstantial.
Speaking of Barry Bonds, what do you make of A-Rod training with him in the offseason this year?
I'm not going to be as crappy about it as Jim Rome, because Jim Rome, you know, is just a punk. I mean, he's Barry Bonds. You know, I mean, why not train with the best? A guy that played in his 40s. You know, I mean, what the heck?
So when A-Rod comes back and hits 35 home runs, are you going to forgive?
Yeah, I'm going to forgive. Oh, I'm going to be rooting for A-Rod to hit the home runs.
I don't believe that for a second.
Okay, fine. But you don't have to believe it. You don't have to. You know what? You know what's going to be interesting? The first time that A-Rod comes up, right, with, like, runners in scoring position, what's the crowd going to be like? What happens if he fails? Will the crowd get on him? What will the reaction be when he hits a home run? How will the crowd
I think if it's a situation where there's runners in scoring position where they could win a game against a rival in a certain situation and it's a home game, and if he doesn't come through, I think it's common sense. He'll hear the Boo Birds come out, you know. But if he comes through, like any fans of – you're fans of a team in that situation, regardless of what you think about an individual player, at the end of the day, you don't root for names. You root for the team. Players come and go. So you're going to support – that player in that moment.
Well, you know, I'm more interested in watching Bella Max and how Bella Max will do and earn a $50 billion bonus in his first year of the Nets.
Oh, stop. He's gonna lead pitcher. He's going to do fine.
All right. Well, I think Bella Max will have a nice banner year for the Nationals, and they'll finish in third place behind the Mets and the Marlins. And we'll miss the playoffs.
The Mets and the Marlins.
Well,
you're telling me.
Everybody.
You know what? I'm taking the Nationals to win that division. Taking the Nationals.
You know, if they keep their staff and they keep Desmond and they keep those guys for a whole year, they actually should be the favorites to win the whole thing. But we'll see what happens.
And I think if they win the whole thing, I think that contract is every bit worth what they paid him for. Because that's exactly why you bring in someone like that.
Yeah, well, maybe Matt Williams will take out Dollar Max with two outs of the ninth inning and no hitter in the playoffs against the Giants, and then somebody on the Giants will hit a home run. Like two strikes on him. All right, I think we lost Craze. I don't know what the heck that was, but it looked like Craze just dropped off. Must be the fact that we returned. That we finally have a show again and we returned. So I guess this is going to be the quickest and shortest blitz in history. But believe it or not, we actually got through 27 minutes. So not bad. Not a bad first show. What I will say, Rob's phone died. So there you have it. Rob's having issues. It's too bad. Too bad because I don't have Taps to play. So no Taps. Otherwise, I would play it. But his phone died. I knew something happened. All right. So this is the Blitz. I'm live for another 90 seconds. I'm just going to close with this thought. I'll give you a little hard hits thought, blitz style. It isn't about, you know, whether or not the Patriots cheated or not. It isn't about whether or not the Bulls were deflated. It's about the Super Bowl. It's about the next week. And it's about how the NFL will go about handling this situation. Sure. People actually expect them to do something. But they're not going to do anything because it's the Super Bowl. And this is the biggest event, the biggest sporting event that everybody watched, the world will be watching. So, yes, the media will carry away and they'll get carried on. And they'll continue to go crazy about the story. But when Sunday comes, there will be a football game played between two teams going for the same thing, trying to make history. Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. You've got a whole bunch of players. Blunt, Wecker White, you've got Curse, you have Marshawn Lynch, you got Richard Sherman, you got Chandler Jones. That's what it's gonna come down to. It's gonna come down to the teams. So like it or not, if you wanna complain about it, fine. But you'll be watching on Sunday, and so will I. So enjoy the Super Bowl and we'll be previewing it more as we come. This is Derek Felix. Make sure you tune in until next show. I'm going to do a little overtime now. Check us out. All right, we are in overtime. This is going to be a brief overtime. you know, we did a lot of football for the show. Now we're going to go away from football. We've done a lot of football. There are other sports going on. It's an all-star game this weekend. Now, you know, if you know me, you know that I'm a big hockey guy. Do run a site called NewYorkPuck.com. Just need to cover. We do Rangers mostly and Devils. So I take Rangers. Hassan takes Devils. I try to get some Islanders in when I can, Sabres when I can, a little bit of prospects when I can. All right. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, the All-Star game is, you know, it's just an All-Star game. It's just a celebration of players, and that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah, I could act like a older person and say, oh, well, I don't care about the All-Star game. All right. Well, to be honest, I'm probably not going to be home for it because I'm probably going to be working. But when I get the chance, I'll catch some of the highlights and I'll watch. And to be honest, I like the skills competition better anyway. The NHL hosts had their skills comp on Friday night. On Saturday night. Actually, it's Saturday, yeah. They had their skills competition. It's hosted in Columbus. And, you know, some of the world's best players, they chose up teams. They had a little fantasy draft. They had a little bit of fun. And that's what All-Star games are. They're supposed to be fun. So even if you're not a fan of All-Star games, maybe you're just taking things just a little too seriously. Now, why so serious? Why so serious, as the Joker said? Maybe we should try to. I don't mind watching, but why can't we watch and have fun and just enjoy an All-Star game? Sports are way too serious now. The way it's covered, the way everything is just diagrammed, and everything is so analyzed. You know, whether it's 82 games, or it's 162. Or it's even 16 games, even though football is a little different. Because there's a lot there. There's a lot happening there. You know, in football, you know, if you get off to a bad start, you get into a hole, you're most likely they're not going to climb out of. Played in the in that lousy division in the NFC, the NFC South. But I don't see anything wrong with a little celebration every once in a while. The NHL also announced they're going to bring back the World Cup of Hockey, and they're going to have this tournament every 4 years. The World Cup of Hockey was a tournament that I really loved. They brought it back in 1996, and that was the most memorable one, of course. Mike Richter standing on his head, USA coming from behind to beat Canada from one game down, and Richter just unbelievable, and just some just tremendous performances from everybody. But when you have All-Stars, you want everybody to be there. And maybe that's why I like Alex Ovechkin. Ovechkin is a showman. Ovechkin gets what the All-Star game is about. So he had a little fun. He had a little fun with the breakaway. And you had Ryan Johansson doing so many fun things, and even having a kid, you know, take a shot, and Goudreau scored a goal. Voracek carrying him, and they had their fun. And you have to hurt a shot. And Weber actually almost beat Chara. He hit it over 108 miles an hour. He really got into it, but just missed beating Chara. But the hardest hitter ever, of course, would be Al Iafrady, who clocked at over 111. And Iafrady was the best at it. Now, the All-Star game back then, it was a little better. It was better, I'm not going to lie. They've changed a little bit of the format with the skills. But some of the skills are actually pretty fun to watch, like where they're doing, like, the super skills where you have the players, you know, trying to go for a little maze, trying to make just perfect passes. Getzlaf was pretty good at that. How about the target? Everybody likes the accuracy contest. That's always pretty good. Messier probably will be my favorite, you know, back then when he hit 0-4. Bork, slap shots, of course, Iafrady, McInnes. Now you have Weber. one, you know, Chara, even though he wasn't there. Ovechkin. It's supposed to be fun. And you had players that were having fun. And they gave a good show, and they're going to give a good show tomorrow. And that's what it should be about. It should be about the Ovechkins and the Patrick Kanes and the Jonathan Toews, Rick Nash coming back to Columbus. You had Luongo making a ridiculous save also. So, I mean, that's what it should be. So, you know, I kind of wish Jágr could have been part of it because I think this might be it for Jágr. And, of course, Brodeur is probably going to retire because he took time away from St. Louis. I wish he could have been part of it. This is a special guest. I think the NBA gets it right. Now, the NBA, not everybody goes to the All-Star game. But even the players that can't participate, they go. You know why they go? Because they love being part of the festivities. They like being there. They like being seen. They like being there with the dunk contest and the three-point contest, and they have fun. And with the NHL, I don't see that. Now, Sidney Crosby decided to pull out. Malkin decided to pull out with injuries. You know, even if you're pulling out with an injury, even though I don't know how legitimate it is, but, you know, I think that the hockey players should still show their faces instead of taking breaks. That's what I think. I think there should be a little more spirit of the All-Star game. You know, even if you can't participate, why not hang out? Why not be part of it? You know, the fans voted you in. Or you will text. You know, but you still have your Canes, you still have your Tate, you still got your Stamkos, you still got your Rick Nash, who's having a remarkable season. You still have your John Tavares. And you have a lot of great players. You have Getzlaf. So there's a lot of fantastic players that are part of it. And you've got your goalies, too. Although Henrik Lundqvist is not part of it, but you got some other goalies that are there. Marc-Andre Fleury's there. Yaroslav Halak's there. Brian Elliott's taking selfies with Tarasenko. He's still taking selfies. And he's still putting on blindfolds, and he's having fun. And that's what the All-Star, that's what All-Star Festival should be. So even if it's not really that big a deal, and, you know, and maybe we don't care all that much, hey, the fans, there are people that still watch. And if you can't smile and you can't laugh at some of the fun and some of the things that some of these players were trying, along with Claude Giroux, showing some just tremendous just stick handle and just tremendous stuff along with Ovechkin. And maybe you just need to just chill out. The All-Star game is fun. And the All-Star, and it's supposed to be. And that's why, and even in base really about. So that's my little take on the All-Star game, whatever sport it is. There you have it. Other than that, there's really not much else happening. We're still about two, three weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, about 3 weeks away almost. We've got one more week of January. We're going to be in for some more tough weather with some snow on Monday here in New York. Be safe out there. And, and you've got some other stuff going on with basketball, but that's going to do it for the show. I'm going to wrap this up. We'll try to do another show. I don't know. Maybe we'll do one tomorrow. Maybe not. If not tomorrow, then Monday. But make sure you check us out when we do return. Okay? And we'll have more hard hits in the future. All right. I want to thank John Giannullo for his 1 minute contributions and Ralph Price Davis for once again coming up with something new, the New England Deflatriots. So there you have it. Something new, a new buzzword to the New England bye as we go into Super Bowl week. We will be previewing more, and I'm sure we'll have more stories, and we'll try to do the best we can with them. All right, that's going to do it. All right, for both Robert and for John, this is Derek Felix, D-Flex, signing off. We will see you all on our next show. Make sure you check us out and check out the archive, all right? Take it easy, and we'll see you all next time. Good night, everybody.